You can't see your Bibles now, so I was going to have you turn to Matthew 21 and share just a moment from the Word before we hear this marvelous group of pastors and ministers sharing the gospel with us in the sung word. But as I was thinking about this week, and I've had a chance to hand out these cards that Sean has made for us, I've handed about 20 out to people, and they've all shown interest in the Sunday morning service, early sunrise service. But I also wanted to tell you that each family I came in contact with, at least 80% of them, had a crisis in their lives, just in this street, just behind me. And I'm sure that's probably the case in most people's lives. And so I know it's difficult to cross a barrier of comfort to invite, but if you're inviting people to Jesus, it's worth the discomfort. Grab a card on your way out and invite somebody. Bring them with you. Sit with them. It may be a life-transforming morning for them, or a week. This passage, Zechariah, I don't know why I love Zechariah so much. I've looked at this book for many years. I love the fact that on an evening about 2,400 years ago, a man received visions from God, 8 in a row, and then he wrote them down. And they were visions given to people that, I don't like me, like you, they were regular, normal people that lived in a world that was full of really difficult politics, really difficult economics. In fact, they were oppressed. They were beleaguered. They didn't have much hope at all. They had drooping hands. They'd lost vision for their life and for their community and for God's call upon their lives. And so God sends this guy with some visions to talk about how God's going to restore them. And in the fourth vision, you have this picture, which doesn't shock us now because we know about Palm Sunday, but for a Jew to hear for the first time, your king is coming, and he's coming gently, that's a shocking word for a king, and then on the back of a donkey. In fact, a very small donkey, a colt, a baby donkey. Now, you may think, well, that's cool or royal, but you know what? I think it probably produced some sense of anxiety in them because they didn't want a king coming like that. Who wants a king on the back of a donkey? I mean, really. And especially if the one who's coming is God. Now, I did some research online. Of course, you farmers can correct me, but the going rate in North Carolina for a donkey today is about $300 for a really good donkey. And I checked on horses, and if you can get a pretty fair horse for about $3,000. So that's comparable, about 10 times more for a horse than a donkey. We don't really like donkeys so much. In fact, online I found some of those people that had donkeys saying, if you want a donkey, come and I'll pay you to take my donkey from my farm. That's how much we like donkeys. I began to, you animal lovers, just be quiet. Anyway, the donkey thing, I began to write down characteristics of donkeys. Stubborn, loud, inconsiderate, unkempt, smelly, awkward, just plain dumb. And then I stopped writing the list because I thought, that's what I looked like to my wife every single day of my life. All those things. Every hour I looked like that to her. So here's Jesus in a real life situation, just like Zechariah, talking to people as more beleaguered, more upset about politics, way under a tax level they couldn't bear, not seeing any way out of this miasma. And their king comes, as Zechariah prophesied, on the back of a donkey. And I know it's a Hosanna thing, I know we have palms, I don't think they really understood much of what was going on. You can say Hosanna, like I often do, and have no idea what I'm saying. Lord, save us. And do it from the back of a donkey. Now, we don't go that way. It's not the first thing we do. I know we know the end of the story, but I just want to tell you, it challenges me because I'm too much of a pompous American Christian who likes a God who's in charge. But he doesn't come like that. He comes gently to every person's life. He never comes like this. He always comes in ways that, I don't know, it's unnerving to us. I wonder if the clearest picture of Jesus you ever get in real life before the cross is this. I know he goes to wash feet. That's another very clear picture this week. But he starts from the back of a donkey coming into town. Now, I know you all have done resumes and Vita. You want to make sure it's always good, the best stuff. If you wanted to put in your resume, I raised a man from the dead, or I want to choose a donkey to come to town, which would you choose in your resume? I think we choose raising Lazarus from the dead. And he's in the mix. He's in the crowd somewhere. But Jesus would never say, you know what, by the way, if you want to know who I am here, this dead man is now living. Hello. He says, no, I'm on the back of a donkey, and I'm coming home. A baby donkey. I went all through the Bible. You talk to a man who's lost his way. He's an ex-convict. He's 40 years in the wilderness herding sheep. And you take this 80-year-old man, and you stop him with a burning bush, and the entire history of the world is different. You come to a person who's a prophet, who comes from a pagan country, and there it is again, a talking donkey challenges Balaam, says, don't do that, God has another plan. You got a prophet who's just defeated a huge wicked queen and king, and he runs away in depression, and God touches him and speaks to him and feeds him. And Elijah is restored in that quiet, that quiet, still voice, humble voice. It's interesting. I know we have in Christmas time donkeys everywhere, but you know, there's no scripture for the donkey. We don't know that Mary was on a donkey. I think she walked from her home to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. I think she walked to Egypt. It's an interesting thing. And now we have behold the Lamb from John. That's the first thing out of his mouth. Behold the Lamb, about as humble as you can get. And now at the end of the life of Jesus, behold your King riding on the back of a donkey. You know what? No humility, no Savior. You cannot be saved without a humble Savior. There is no salvation offered to anybody without this donkey kind of life. First, because we live in a donkey kind of life. We don't want a king like that, but the king comes and says, I understand your life. I know where you live. You may act like you're a white charger horse family, but you are just a bunch of donkeys in your house. And I love you for who you are. I come to your humble neighborhood, your humble home, if you are humble. I come to your humble world because of who I am. No humility, no cross, no salvation. And if you follow this week, you'll see everybody wants Jesus to be a different kind of king. Everybody down the road wants a king who's in charge, a king who's the truth, a king who's sharp, a king who's able to defend himself. And Jesus says, no, no, no. I'm gentle. I'm meek. And all the things you want me to be, none of them save. None of them save. Only me. Now, Sean in his prayer mentioned beautifully, No tears. This humble one comes and he comes weeping. No tears. There's no understanding. We have a humble God who's coming to save, God in the flesh, and he comes weeping. I know it's not kosher for grown men to weep. All of you know that verse you've memorized since early days. It was the one where your Sunday school teacher said, anybody memorize a verse this week? And you thought, John 11:35, Jesus wept. It's the most memorized verse in the entire history of the church. Jesus wept. And this verse, the only times he weeps, Lazarus dies, and here, that we know of. I was reading this week, Hebrews chapter 5, it says, Jesus was interceding and praying with deep pain and crying. And I thought, Lord, is that the way you always prayed, or many times prayed, deeply crying for people like me, carrying me? My broken, damaged, self-centered life. No donkey, no humility, no cross, no Savior, no tears, no understanding. He understands you and me. And we're going to sing today about this one who's come in such a shocking way to save. And lastly, no cross, no salvation. Now that's pretty basic Christian doctrine. But this is a week where you and I get a chance to think through that as deeply as we can this year. Different from last year. Your life's gone through a lot since last Easter. So think about, what have you learned? What have I learned about the cross? What new application of the cross can Jesus speak to me even this morning? Now, theologically, he was crowned. He's the king of the universe. Crown, cross, crown. Crowned king comes to us humbly on the back of a donkey, ends up on a cross. We know what happens next Sunday morning, but the result of that cross work is the crown. But you got to put yourself right in the middle of that. Crown, cross, crown. But then the Lord says to us right off the bat, if you don't go to a cross, there's no crown for you. If you want eternal life, if you want to know me forever, you've got to go to your own cross. Look at my cross, but you must die, which means you must be humbled. All week long, I've been thinking about pride. Pride, it's the insidious sin, isn't it? I mean, all of us, if we're honest, there's something about this pride thing. It's in everything. It says, I'm God, or I'm number one, or look at me. It's everywhere. And without this humble, cross-like Savior, without him coming to offer himself to die for my pride and to offer me a heart of humility, there is no hope. I am stuck in my pride, which means I damage everybody I touch. But if this one who slips off the back of a donkey, cross, crown, cross, crown, if he can say, no, I want to incorporate you, come to me, no cross, no crown. If you want my life, if you want my fullness, if you want your pride to be dealt with, then you've got to come to a cross. If you've never been saved this morning, if you don't know Jesus, come to his cross. I'm intrigued as I've sung these words scores of times in the last 2 months. The amazing thing is, if you listen carefully, it's his cross, and then his gift is our crown. He's so humble, he's not focused on a crown. He wants to give us a crown. His cross, our crown. So if you're beleaguered, if you need hope today, if you need peace and transformation, if your pride is the first thing you wake up and see, there's hope. His cross, our crown. And as we listen to these who have prayed and prepared, I pray that you will listen to Jesus. Jesus, your cross means my crown. Bring me to your cross, my wonderful Savior. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it is on dusty roads that you came. On the back of a baby donkey, you came. And they did miss you. They didn't understand. But we, as a group this morning, say, Lord, whatever it takes, we're not going to miss you. Not this morning. So you come. You're already here. But would you come as humbly as you always come? You can come through a children's choir. You can come through a chancel choir. You can come through a solo on the piano. You can come any way you choose, even in an offering time. And so, Lord, we come poised with anticipation. No cross, no crown. May that be true today, that we would know your amazing love as you continue to transform each of us by your holy presence. And it's your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus, come and meet us here. Amen, amen, and amen.